Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sycamore, also from thedraftnetwork.com, here on a beautiful Wednesday morning in which I have been told it reached almost into the 30s last night in Florida.
It's 43 degrees. 43. This is hell.
Imagine.
This is hell, John.
Oh, I would kill for 43, man. I would kill for it.
How do people live in these conditions?
It honestly probably isn't right or healthy or anything. I was thinking about that the night. I was outside. There was we were at something, my wife and I, with our daughter, and she's two, and it was like we haven't spent a lot of time outside with her because she's only two in the cold weather. And I was like, man, it's probably like 31 degrees. Like, she's got like a couple coats. You know, it's just like, what? How many layers are enough for, like? And I'm like, is this even healthy to be outside and like this kind of cold? Like, I can feel, like, what does it do to your bones? Like,
the answer is no.
I don't know if we were created to be in this situation, you know, but.
Wow, he's finally coming around, ladies and gentlemen.
Finally. Man, I've been up here my whole life trying to get out of this cold. Put that on me. We got to talk about the Associated.
God's country.
I completely agree with you. Anywhere cold is truly just waiting to be inhabited eternally by Satan. I honestly believe that. We got to talk about the Associated Press All-American team. I'm not going to say like the whole thing's bad or anything. Okay, well, that was good timing. It's not trash, but like some things are just funny, man. Like, it's just, I mean, like,
questionable decision making.
Right. Okay. So
I haven't even looked at all of this because we actually were prepping for the show and I got into some of the names and I started like freaking out a little bit on the names I saw. And I was like, you know what? I want my raw reaction for the podcast. And so I haven't even been through the first, second, and third teams in its entirety. So,
right. I think that the biggest thing for me is when I look at the first team, I'm kind of blown away. Like, Mitch Hyatt is it just like, do people watch offensive line play?
Mitch Hyatt.
Is it just because they know his name?
All-American tackle.
I mean, that is just clearly not true if you watched him this year. Dalton Risner was a second team tackle, which is insane. Andrew Thomas from Georgia, yes, he was good. He was the other second team tackle. Cody Ford was a third team tackle. I mean, he was light years better than Mitch Hyatt this year.
If you are a five star recruit,
was Hyatt a five star?
You will get remembered forever. Yes, he yes.
Was? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Ford was pretty decent.
Mitch Hyatt hasn't been good.
No.
Right?
He's bad. He's bad. He didn't even get a Senior Bowl invite. They don't even think he's good at all.
So
he's going to go like round five.
Why do you think we know his name?
Because he was typed up as a prospect at Clemson when they were.
Because he was a highly regarded recruit.
All right. I'm trusting you. I'm not even looking it up to see if he actually was a five star. I'm just trying to trust you.
He was a five star. He was like a 90. He was like a 98 composite rate. I remember looking at that. Yeah. Ridiculous. However, there is a guy who not only made the first team All-American list, he would have made the first team All-Name list because his name is Bunchy Stallings.
Yes. He's good, too. He's a good player. I mean,
Bunchy,
I think he played center.
Stallings.
I don't remember seeing him a guard at all, but he made the team as a guard. I don't know if they just try and smash all interior offensive linemen on there, regardless of what position you played or what they do. But I didn't even have an issue with that.
Your boy, Jay Sternberger.
Yes, Jay Sternberger made the first team. I was actually a little bit surprised he made the first team because Caleb Wilson almost had a 1,000-yard season as a tight end, which I just thought was crazy.
Trash.
And would jump off the tape. Yeah, I thought it would jump off the paper to everybody, to be honest, but he didn't even make second or third team. I don't know how you have a 1,000-yard receiving season almost as a tight end in college football on a horrible team and don't get recognized as an All-American at all. That is wild to me, but I mean, as prospects, Hawkinson is certainly better. He was the second team tight end, and Font was the third team tight end. So I can't really argue with it. I just was surprised by it, I guess. The biggest oversight on the entire list, and including Mitch Hyatt, is Brian Burns, right? He has to be first team All-American, right? Like, has to be, right?
So the first team All-American defensive ends were Cleveland Farrell and Sutton Smith. How many sacks did Sutton Smith end up with this year? Do you know?
I'll look, but I mean, I don't think it was great. I mean, no, I know it was great production wise, but because he's produced every single year. But
all right, okay, all right. He had 24 and a half tackles for loss.
Right, he's had that
and
like
15
every year.
Sacks.
Last year he had 30 tackles for loss and 14 sacks.
Yeah. So
I know he's produced. It's just who's he producing against, you know? Like, okay, Cleveland
But I don't
Farrell.
Think that's their prerogative, right?
But yeah, that's like part of the deal, though. I mean, otherwise some of these small school guys would get every single award. Andy Isabella, did he make first team?
I guess.
He leads the country in receiving yards, I'm almost certain. He didn't make first team. He made second team. Yeah, he made second team behind whatever Tylan Wallace is. I don't watch the Big 12. Fight me.
Oh, bro, Tylan Wallace legit.
Yeah, that's what Brad said.
Tylan Wallace. Okay, because I had to fill in and cover some of the Big 12 games for our recaps this year, and every single week I kept having to write about Tylan Wallace, even though he's a sophomore. I'm going to look up his stats. You keep talking about other things, and then I'll interrupt you like I always do once I find Tylan Wallace's stats.
Perfect. Perfect. Cleveland Farrell, 17 and a half tackles for loss and 10 and a half sacks. And again, we understand that this is different than draft analysis. Like, we may think that a player is better or worse than someone else, but we understand for these awards, it is a lot of times about production. Brian Burns had 10 sacks and 15 and a half tackles for loss. So right around the same type of production as Farrell. Okay. Let's say he doesn't make the first team. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Tylan Wallace, there was a streak of 9 games in the middle of the season where 7 out of the 9 games he had at least 100 yards receiving. And at the end of his season against Texas, Baylor, and Oklahoma, his yard stats went 222, 112, 220. The
dude balled.
Production was stupid.
How many? What did he average per catch?
A 17.7.
Wow.
Yeah, he's 2 yards short of 1,400 yards on his first season as a starter, as a true sophomore.
Not too shabby, I would say. We'll probably be talking about him next year. Not but bad. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. I just don't know how Brian Burns isn't on the first or second team. It's just kind of. That's kind of mind-boggling to me. Not only when you talk about production, level of impact in key games, obviously Florida State wasn't good or anything, but in my mind, like, this is about individual performance, really, especially at a position that's not quarterback. I mean, and I just think he was like, I mean, Montez Sweat and Ja'Kai Polite was second team, don't mean to hate, but, you know, again, like, guys had great seasons, no doubt about it, but, like, man, Brian Burns doesn't make second. He doesn't make third team? You got Jalen Ferguson out there over him? Come on, man. Like, Chase Winovich? Oh, my goodness. I mean, these guys are good for sure. Like, I'm not trying to say they suck.
No, they're not Brian Burns. Get out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it just blows me away. I don't understand that whole, like, the whole thing. You know, and again, like, Jeffrey
Simmons.
Oliver
got third team? Lol.
Right.
Lol.
Ed Oliver and Jeffrey Simmons got third team. And, like, I get there's a lot of productive guys out there. And you have to, like, Gerald Willis's stats were insane. But it is funny because, like, Gerald Willis didn't get first team all ACC.
Hold up.
But he's second team all American. It's like, what? Okay. So the
hold
voting
on
is
here.
On different levels here. Why? What's triggering you now?
Jerry Tillery got second team over Ed freaking Oliver.
Well, production wise, I think Tillery had a better season, didn't he?
Jerry Tillery had 7 sacks total this year, right?
Right.
4 of them came in one game at the very beginning of the year against Stanford. And he's had the most spotty production ever since. Like, what? Like 2 sacks after that.
Right.
No, I'm not about that. That was
well, what did Oliver have? He didn't even play for a lot of the year. He missed several games.
He played 8 games and 14 and a half tackles for loss.
Well, yeah, but how many sacks did he have?
Only 3, but you know that's how Ed Oliver goes. Ed Oliver doesn't get sacked.
Well, if you go like that, you're not getting first or second team All-American, just the way it is. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. Tillery and Willis played better
Poop.
this year. I mean, they produced better at
Poop.
least. I mean, if you're asking me who's the
Poop.
better prospect, obviously I'm saying Ed Oliver. Just saying, man. Like, it, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons had an unreal year, but I know production-wise, like, stats weren't like crazy or anything like that. So he's down there third team, whatever. I mean, to me, it's just
You know
like
who else
Burns
got
had the
stats?
production and the
You
tape.
got
So
it.
what's that?
Bryce Hall got the shaft.
Did he, was he even on here? Third team.
No.
Not even on here. LaVert Hill made it? Get out
No.
of here. Get out. LaVert Hill. Oh my. Whatever a Hamp Cheevers is.
Bryce Hall led.
I'm so mad right now. Did Bryce Hall had
Bryce
like 30
Hall led the
PBUs.
country. Bryce Hall led the country in passes defended and passes broken up.
Isn't they the same thing?
No,
Somewhat.
they split them up into different
Who?
leg categories, I guess.
Where are you looking at this? These people
CFB
need to
stats.
be. These people need to be. No. That doesn't even make any sense. What's the difference? How would you differentiate them?
Listen, if I knew, I would tell
I need to
you,
have these
but I
conversations. I
don't.
need to have these. I need to talk to the stat people. Anyway, he led the nation in pass breakups, whatever you want to call it, and somehow doesn't like
He did.
oh, this is absurd. He was phenomenal this season.
Hamp Cheevers.
Hamp Cheever. Great name. Great name. I'm not trying to take away from that dude.
Great name.
Great name. I also, there's a couple guys I don't know. I don't know
Hamp.
Andre Sisco, this freshman safety from Syracuse, I guess, not draft eligible yet. Patty Fisher made third team. Remember, we were all hyped about Patty Fisher before the season. That, I mean, he's a good
Figured
college
out he was
player.
slow as hell, so.
The first game of the regular season, I was like, Patty Fisher's on tonight. Let's go. I watched him. I was like, man, Patty Fisher can't run. Oh, boy. It was fun while it lasted. That one month. Benny Snell made third
Yeah, you can't
team.
really. When you're a linebacker who can't run, there ain't a lot to hide, you
Right.
know?
It's kinda
Tough.
it. I don't know if there's
Yeah.
a lot more beyond that. I thought that they did a really good job with first talking about the safeties, Delpit and Deontay Thompson, clearly the best two safeties in college football this season. Honestly, I didn't To me, I didn't think like after that. I was like, I don't really care. You know, at the FBS level, it was like, I don't know. I mean, Taylor Rapp made second team. I don't even know Amani Hooker. Did Cal mention Amani Hooker, this junior safety from Iowa, one time this year? I never remember it.
No.
We're gonna have to get on him about that. This kid won All-American. You
Is
can't even
he
miss him.
Malik Hooker's brother?
I don't know. That would be something to look into. I mean, they both played in the Big Ten, both pretty close in age, last name Hooker, same position. I don't know.
I just Googled Amani Hooker brother and nothing comes up. So
Okay.
I feel like something would have come
Maybe
up
it's a made-up
if he
name.
was actually Malik Hooker's brother.
Maybe it's a
Wow,
made-up name.
okay. All right.
Could
Just
be.
calling him out on it. Sure.
All-purpose player for the first team was Rondale Moore, which I thought was a really good choice. And Jerry Jeudy and Marquise Brown
Yeah.
winning
I mean,
for wide receiver was good.
Rondale Moore like single-handedly beat State, so
What's
he
that?
kind of
He
had to
beat
win the
Ohio State?
award,
Oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That was him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was him. He balled out. It was very impressive. He's a real one. No doubt about it. Got a special message for you all from DraftKings. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in prizes. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying 1 week fantasy football, now is the time to play because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. $1.5 million. Here's what you got to do. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use the code Locked On. Locked On is the code to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's Locked On. Locked On is the promo code only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. All right, Trevor, as I look at this All-American team, one thing really stands out to me. I think there's only one Florida player on the whole thing. Any first, second, third team, and I just wondered how that affected you. Were you just happy there was at least one? Did someone deserve it?
I mean, the only other guy, the only other guy that they would have maybe put in there is Vosan.
Yeah.
Joseph, right. The linebacker. Right. But I don't think he had like the stats some of the other guys did, even though like Vosan's been pretty good this year. Florida has, I said this earlier in the year, they have four NFL running backs on their team, like guys that will play in the NFL, but none of them had the stats to beat any of the other guys who are like feature backs on their own team. So
right.
It wasn't like they were going right. They weren't going to win.
I was just giving you the platform to say if you were triggered about something. Here's my other gripe. How are we not at a point now in the year 2018 where we know what a linebacker is and we know what an edge defender is and we know the difference and we designate them differently on everything, including interior defensive linemen?
Because that would make journalists' jobs harder, and we know that they never want to do that.
Why is it harder? It's not even just the All-American team where Josh Allen is listed as a linebacker, like with Devin White and Ben
McCurvin. We got to get the old guard out of here.
But it's not even just that. Like the NFL, if you vote for the Pro Bowl, like Chris Jones, he of Combine fame, is listed with the defensive ends because they call him a 3-4 defensive end. Cam Hayward's listed with the defensive ends. He can never get a Pro Bowl vote from the fans as a defensive end because there's players that actually play that position that he's going up against in there that are better than, like, they have more better production than him. Now, this year, I actually still voted for Chris Jones because he was that good. But honestly, the way that they set up the voting has kept like somebody like Cam Hayward from getting votes for years and years and years because he was up against players who had way better stats. But in the interior defensive line group, if they grouped him like logic would suggest, you know, he would be fine. And honestly, the designation of 3-4 defensive end has not mattered for years, man. Like people are like, oh, he's a 2-gap and 3-4 defensive end. Put him out there. Yeah, that guy's playing 5 snaps a game if that's what he does. Like he's not valuable at all. You got to play inside techniques. Like half the time you're going to have 2 interior defensive linemen, 2 edge guys, and you're going to have a nickel and 2 linebackers. Like that's like 70% of snaps. So forget the position. Just like, why can't we just common sense wise move in that direction and like say, okay, we've got edge defenders. We've got interior defensive linemen. We've got off ball linebackers. That's it. Like that's what we got. It drives me nuts. Really grinds
it's hard to
my
change
gears.
Stuff.
It is. It's very difficult.
It's hard to like get people to change.
Yeah.
You know? So many different ways that you could break down. Like I last year when I was going through my rankings of prospects, and I think I'm gonna do this again this year, like I took defensive linemen and it's the same group of guys, but like I broke it down for I didn't even have it just edge. Like, well, I did for some of my writings just because it's easier to read. But like when I ranked guys in my notes in my phone and on my computer, I have them as 3-4 DNs, 4-3 DNs, pass rush outside linebackers, like nose tackles or like defense, like 3 technique defense tackles. Like I have it broken out. And even wide receivers, I had X wide receivers, Y receivers, and Z wide receivers. Like I had all of those. So like the game of football is getting to be I even had nickel corner and outside corner too. Game of football is getting to be such a complex game where you can specialize guys in so many different positions depending on what kind of defense or offense you run that you almost, even when you're scouting these guys, projecting them to the next level, you have to find the areas that they win and know most of the time like what their niche is. So you've got to be able to put them in kind of the right spots there. So maybe we will come a day where we're calling these guys what they actually are, but
right.
That is not this day, as the meme goes.
Yeah, well, needed to be soon because the Pro Bowl voting has just gone out of control. It's skewing result. Players are missing out on opportunities. I don't know how we haven't wised up to that at least the NFL level, but even for college football, I would love to see them kind of gear that way more with the All-American teams. They do a better job of it, honestly, than the Pro Bowl does. They really do. I mean, if you look at the rest of the other than the first team, and maybe it was just an opportunity to get Josh Allen on the first team along with Sutton Smith and Cleveland Farrell, but everybody else is listed with the linebackers is actually an off-ball linebacker. So that is an encouraging aspect of it. I think that they're doing some good things. I mean, honestly, I think most of the designations were pretty spot on. There's a couple of players you could make arguments for. There's always going to be the case. Burns was the most egregious thing that I saw out of the list.
Although yeah, that's Mitch really Hyatt, bad. Yeah,
Mitch Hyatt being on first team was hard to come to grips with as well. But I like that DeAndre Baker and Julian Love were first team cornerbacks, even though Greedy Williams has the big name and the pedigree. Byron Murphy, I could have definitely seen over Julian Love, but Love did have a really good year, and so
Love had a lot of stats too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played well. I mean, I give him credit for sure. I thought that again with receiver, they did it right. Wallace, I know, had the crazy production. I was glad to see Isabella get the nod because what he did was crazy, and he did some really good things against top tier competition as well. And I thought Judy and Marquise Brown were kind of the most explosive receivers in the country. On a week-to-week basis. A lot of good receivers not getting enough targets, obviously. Some, like Metcalf, getting injured, but I was a fan. I was a fan almost across the board, to be honest. Those just stood out to me. I don't want to sound overly negative, but...
Yeah, it was fine. I thought for the most part it was fine, I think.
So tomorrow we got a breakdown NFL, the games coming up in week 15. We're somehow already at week 15. We got to figure out what teams we're going to bury, by the way. I think I'm going to convince you tomorrow on the podcast that by the time our funeral segment of the podcast is over, we're going to have 7 NFC teams left for 6 spots. That's my goal tomorrow. I'm going to convince you and get you to that point where you cut down the rest of the NFC so that we've got 7 teams left. And the AFC, things a little bit muddier. We'll have to see how that conversation goes tomorrow on the podcast. And then obviously Friday. Of course, we will be with the draft dudes doing our super show as we always do. So until then, keep it locked right here, guys, on Locked On NFL Draft.